story is told of a couple who, after looking at their finances, decided that they really needed to save more and spend less. So they decided for their New Year's resolution, they were in fact going to put a tight grip on their spending. They were going to spend less. They did really well in January, but in February, she went shopping and saw and found the dress of her dreams. It cost way too much, but she decided she really had to have it. When she showed it to her husband, he exclaimed, "After all we said about spending less, how could you do this? We talked and talked and agreed." There was a pause, and then she replied, "Well, the devil made me do it." "The devil made you do it," he said. "Well, when he was tempting you, why didn't you just say, 'Get behind me, Satan'?" She said, "Well, I did. But then he said, 'Whoa, it looks really great from the back, too.'" This is the first Sunday in Lent. And on every year, on this Sunday, we look at the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. We are told in this section of Scripture about the three temptations of Christ: turn stones into bread, receive the glory and honor from all the nations, and finally to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Now, those are not exactly the same kind of temptations you or I face, are they? In one way, no. But in another way, they really kind of are. And the first temptation, Jesus is tempted to take a stone and turn it into bread. This temptation is similar to the ones that the ancient Israelites faced when they were hungry and wandering around in the wilderness. The basic premise of the temptation is that we should stop trusting God to provide. The devil's insinuating that God can't be trusted to provide for his son, so Jesus should stop depending upon him and simply take care of himself. Jesus' response is short and to the point. One does not live by bread alone. He says, in essence, human livelihood consists of more than the mere meeting of daily dietary needs. In Matthew's accounts, Jesus adds the word, "but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." You see, life is more than simply eating, drinking, sleeping, and working. Life is more than simply caring for our bodies. We need something that brings us meaning and worth to our lives. Mere physical existence does not bring fulfillment for us today. Can God be trusted to help us with our basic needs? As Christians, we affirm yes, and not only the bread that fills our stomachs, but we need from Him the living bread that will fill our hearts and give us meaning to our lives. The second temptation is a little more subtle. Satan offers Jesus the authority and glory of all the kingdoms in the world. Now, Jesus knew as well as Satan that the Messiah was already going to receive the kingdoms and their glory. So what was this temptation really all about? Satan was offering a shortcut. You see, Jesus could receive everything without having to suffer for it. All he had to do was bow and worship Satan, and it could all be his. Wouldn't that be a lot easier than to go through the rejection, betrayal, beating, and crucifixion? What would one time bending the knee to Satan cost? But Jesus knew there could be no shortcuts. One has to choose the right path and stay on it the whole way. You see, there's no real joy, no real life, except through God. Jesus replies that we are to worship the Lord our God and serve only Him. Now, you and I don't get this sort of temptation exactly. No one is offering you or me the worldly kingdoms, but how many times are we tempted to take shortcuts? Shortcuts that seem to offer us fulfillment and meaning to our lives. Money, possessions, pleasures are the heartbeat of our society, and they are promoted as the means to fulfilling our lives and that will bring us satisfaction. But the fact is, there can be no real or lasting fulfillment that can be found in wealth, possessions, or the pursuit of pleasure in and of themselves. Our lives only find true meaning and joy in God and by serving Him. It's how God designed us when He created us. The final temptation is also subtle. Here the devil even uses Scripture. He takes Jesus and puts Him on the pinnacle of the temple, which was about three stories up, and says, "Jump, God will protect you, because it's written he'll command His angels concerning you to protect you, and they'll bear you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot against the stone." It's important to note that he's brought to the temple itself where the presence of God was. And if God wasn't going to protect Jesus there, then where could go and go for protection? And if God protects the righteous, well then, who else more than Jesus could receive God's protection? But as Jesus points out, it's a false situation. Jesus is not in danger unless he jumps. And if he jumps, he's testing God, which is a sin. What about us? Now, I suspect, just like me, I'm never tempted to jump off high buildings in the hopes that God's going to... That's right. In the hopes that God will catch me before I hit the bottom. So how does this temptation even apply to us? It applies to us when we put ourselves in certain situations that we ought not to put ourselves into. One example would be if I foolishly overspend and then want God to rescue me through some Florida lottery sweepstakes. I'm not talking about people who are careful with their money and then run into situations where they need help. That has happened to many of us. What I'm talking about here are people who are foolish with their money, and then they expect God to rescue them. Another example would be if I were to engage in dangerous or foolish behavior and then pray that it won't catch up with me. Examples of what I mean are like foolish behaviors like sex outside of marriage, drug or alcohol abuse, reckless driving. Sometimes God does protect us. Sometimes He does rescue us. But to knowingly engage in foolish or dangerous behavior, even though we know we ought not to, and hoping, praying even, that God will save us, is testing God. And Jesus tells us we're not supposed to do that. Jesus faced temptations that are ones that are similar to what we face as well. We tend to focus on our physical life and worry about our physical needs when we really need to focus on what is God's word in our lives. Our lives need to be shaped and formed by God, and we shouldn't simply be satisfied with food in our stomachs and nice homes in which to live. We are also tempted to take shortcuts in thinking that have more money, more possessions, or more pleasures will bring us contentment or fulfillment. And finally, some of us may be acting in ways that are reckless or foolish, and want, maybe even expect, God to save us from the results of those behaviors. It's not that the devil makes us do things. Sadly, we seem to be able to get in trouble all by ourselves. And we do. Scripture tells us to say that if we have no sin, or if we say the devil made us do it, or that it's someone else's fault, we are simply tricking ourselves and not being honest. But if we confess and admit our sins, He will be faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in this Lenten season, let us recognize and admit our sins. Let us recognize and admit our weaknesses and ask God for His forgiveness and strength. And let us try all the harder not to give in to temptation, but to prove faithful like our Lord Jesus did when He was tempted. Amen.